38. We're turning to it. Do you remember the Fosters, Andy and Hannah? Mrs. Foster, as you know, was expecting around November time. They're due to come home from Uganda on furlough this month. They have been able to get booked onto one of the special repatriation flights on the 16th of this month. So they're praying nothing will arise that will hinder that. They're going to go to Holland first, Mrs. Foster from Holland. So they're going to spend a little time just with her family before coming over here to Northern Ireland. They hope to commence their deputations around the beginning of October. So do keep them in your prayers as well. The opening part of verse 8 of the 138th Psalm is our text. It tells us the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The subject this morning is comfort for concerned Christians. Can I point out to you, whenever David penned this psalm, it was for him a time of trouble in his life. It's not actually possible to be certain what part of his life it was or what the circumstances were. There are several suggestions that are made. The most common of the suggestions are that it was at the time when he was hunted by Saul, or whenever he became king over all Israel and some of the nations attacked or opposed David becoming king of Judah and Israel jointly. Or the other suggestion is at the time when Absalom rebelled against his father and sought to steal away the kingdom. But we can't be sure what the background actually is. But it's clear that David was in trouble. If you look at verse 7, he says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies." So notice the words especially. He says he's in the midst of trouble. He speaks about mine enemies. So it's clear David was in great trouble. We could say he was right in the middle of trouble. He's surrounded by his enemies. And as you consider David this morning in serious trouble, as you think of David being opposed, there's great encouragement for you to see and to understand that even a man like David passed through such difficult times, such difficult experiences. Be encouraged, brethren and sisters, this morning to realise that life, even for David, wasn't always easy. Life, even for King David, wasn't always a time of blessing. So don't think this morning that you're facing something or you're facing a situation that no one else ever faced before. Because even the Lord's greatest servants had times of trouble in their lives. Just ponder for a moment that word concerneth that's found in our text. Let me ask you, what is it that concerns you today as you come to the house of God? That word has two meanings, two main meanings. One is that which is relevant, that which is important to you. And the other meaning of the word concerneth is that which makes you anxious, or that which makes you worried. And the reality is one can lead to the other. The things that are most relevant, the things that are most important to you, those are the things that can cause you worry and stress and fear, and sometimes a lot of worry and a lot of fear. So you can see, David was worried. He was worried especially about those who were opposing him, whatever stage of his life it was. And I'm sure that that caused him a lot of deep concern, a lot of great fear in his heart. But in this psalm, and especially in the words of our text, verse 8, David finds great comfort for his time of trouble, for his time of great concern. And today we want to consider together what that comfort was. Comfort for concerned Christians. Maybe you're a concerned Christian today. Well, there's comfort in this psalm for you, and may the Lord make it a blessing to your heart and soul. Notice, as we think of that comfort, notice first of all that it is divine. The comfort that David experienced was divine in its origin. It was something that came from God. If you look at the text, the first words of the text, he says, "The Lord will perfect
that which concerneth me. Here's another example, brethren and sisters, of David encouraging himself in the Lord his God. And I want to encourage you to do the same today. David didn't have his eyes on the enemy. He had his eyes on the Lord. And if you meditate upon the psalm, I'd encourage you to take time to do that later. If you meditate upon the whole psalm, there is much of the Lord here. Notice in our text, twice over, you have the word Jehovah. Don't miss the small capitals there of the name Lord. It's Jehovah. In fact, six times in the psalm, you have the lovely name Jehovah. In other words, it reminds us he's the faithful. He's the covenant-keeping God. In verse 3 of the psalm, you're reminded he's a prayer-answering God. He says, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me. And also, in the words of our text, David speaks of God's mercy. That mercy that endures forever. So David speaks much of the Lord. What's he doing in the time of trouble, the time when he's concerned? He's looking to the Lord himself. And brethren and sisters, can I remind you, this is how to encourage yourself in the times of trouble in your own life. This is how to comfort your heart in relation to all of those issues that concern you today or that will concern you in the week that lies ahead. Don't depend on yourself. Don't take matters into your own hands. That's the natural reaction whenever trouble arises. Don't depend today on your own wisdom, your own ability, your own strength. What you need to do, as you learn from this psalm, is you need to cry to the Lord, and then you need to trust him completely. Do you remember what Moses said to the children of Israel in that great time of crisis, standing at the shores of the Red Sea? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Think of the exhortation in the book of Proverbs that's so familiar to us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So whenever you're concerned, it's vital to look to the Lord. It's vital to depend upon him. The lesson that's been set forth here can be summed up like this. He's concerned about all of your concerns. And that's a great blessing, brethren and sisters, just to think of that. The Lord is concerned about everything that concerns you and concerns your family. So this comfort is divine. You'll see as well that it's something that's delayed. The text says the Lord will. Notice the word will. We learn here that this promise of comfort is something that's looking forward to the future. There's a better day. There's a better time that is coming. But it's not just now. It's not just today. It hasn't just come. It hasn't just arrived yet. So the lesson here is, the Lord sometimes delays his comfort. Sometimes delays his deliverance. And we need grace, brethren and sisters, sometimes to see that. We need God to give us grace to accept the fact that he sometimes waits before he fulfills his promise for us. You might ask today, why? Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord wait before he'll fulfill his purpose, fulfill his plan in your life? Well, there's several answers to that. One is to test your faith. Peter speaks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Think of Joseph in Egypt in the prison cell, and the psalmist gives us some details about Joseph in the prison cell at that time. He said the word of the Lord tried him. So sometimes the Lord tests us, tests our faith. And maybe that's what he's doing in your life at this time. Another reason why the Lord delays is to prepare your heart. You know, we need to be honest. There are times our hearts are not right with God. Times our hearts are not in tune with God. Times as Christian we need to have a change of heart. And maybe you need to pray today. Do you think of the situation in which you're found? You need to pray, renew a right spirit within me, O Lord. So you need to have your heart prepared. Another reason why the Lord sometimes delays is to take us away from the wrong things. It's a sad reality, but it's true nonetheless. Christians sometimes get away from the will of God. Maybe you're not in the Lord's will today. And the Lord has to step in. And the Lord has to take you away from the things that should never have concerned you to begin with. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, vital to understand, sometimes the Lord delays in the fulfilling of his purpose, the fulfilling of his promise, because he's a work to do in our heart and in our lives. If you think of David, he had to wait, and he had to wait a long time before he became king of Israel. Do you remember he was anointed by Samuel in his own home before his father and his brothers when he was but a lad? But he had to wait a long time before he actually took the throne. So there are times you have to wait. But remember, delays are not denials. You think of the promise of the prophet Habakkuk, though it tarry, wait for it. The Lord knows what is best. The Lord knows the right time. He knows the right time to come. The right time to come with help and to come with deliverance. In the words of that hymn we sang a few minutes ago, he doeth all things well. So the comfort's divine, it's delayed. Notice as well, it's definite. You think again of that word will. The Lord will. There's further instruction in it. Although the Lord sometimes delays to work and delays to intervene, we're not to doubt for one moment that he will intervene, that he will help and fulfill his promise. May God today deliver us from unbelief. May God save us from being unbelieving believers. Brethren and sisters, his promise, his help, his support is something that is definite. It is something that is sure and certain. We live in very uncertain times. We don't know what the future weeks, the future months, even the future years will bring. Maybe as you look out today in your own life personally, it may be a very uncertain time. You don't know what the future holds. The trouble may be so great, the day so dark, that you may be tempted to think that the Lord has forgotten you. The Lord has left you. Notice that's just how David felt. Look at the end of the text. He says, forsake me not. He thinks the Lord is beginning to forsake him. Sometimes as Christians we feel like that. Remember Jacob? All these things are against me. His pain was so great. And perhaps you feel like that today, that everything and everyone, even God himself, is against you. But he's not, brethren and sisters. That's the lie of the devil. Let me remind you this morning, there is nothing uncertain about God. There's nothing uncertain about the promise of his word. All the promises, notice the breadth, the scope of it, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. It's underlining the certainty of them. There's nothing uncertain about God's purpose for this world or in your life either. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Notice as you think of those words in Romans, that the Lord is at work, brethren and sisters. And he's at work every moment that you live. You can't always see that. But remember, settle it in your mind, a phrase today, that everything that happens in your life, the Lord is at work. And he's at work for your good. So the need of the hour, brethren and sisters, is to walk by faith and not by sight. And I urge you to do that today. Whatever is happening in your life, trust the Lord, because his help and his comfort in your life is absolutely certain. It's definite. And then the final thing I want to emphasize here as we think of comfort for concerned Christians is its description. The text says the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The idea is, in that word perfect, he'll finish it. He will complete it. He'll complete the work. He'll complete the purpose. He'll complete the plan. He's going to bring it to an end. And he will do it perfectly. And remember, only he can do that. Sometimes we interfere. Sometimes we think we need to give the Lord a helping hand. And we only make a mess of things. So be encouraged today. Be comforted. The Lord never leaves a work unfinished. Whatever the Lord has started, whatever he has started in your life, he's going to finish it. He's going to conclude it, brethren and sisters. Or in the words of the text, he's going to perfect it. And he'll do that practically in your life. All the circumstances, whatever's going on, your situation. He will perfect his will for your life, whatever way he's leading you, whatever path he's leading you along. And as well as doing it practically, he'll do it spiritually, in the work of grace, in the work of redemption. Remember that sanctification is a work of God. The young people will remember that from learning the answers to the catechism. Sanctification is a work, and it's the work of the Spirit, making you more holy, making you more like Christ. It's the work of a lifetime. That's one of the great contrasts between sanctification and justification. Justification takes place in a moment of time. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. But brethren and sisters, the Lord will perfect. The Lord will complete that work as well. Paul, writing to the Philippians, stated the same truth. He said, "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And he commenced that verse with the words, "being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, the work that he started in your life, he's going to complete it. And remember what Paul said, writing to the Hebrew Christians, because that complements the truth that we're setting forth as well. He said of the Lord, he's the author and he's the finisher of our salvation. So what a truth that is. He will perfect that which concerneth me. I'm going to close with a verse of the poem. I think it sums up the message, the comfort of this text to our hearts today. Some of you will be familiar with the verse. It says, "The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen, and never was forfeited yet." So there's comfort in this psalm, comfort in this text especially, for concerned Christians. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. So I pray he'll bless his word and make it a blessing to every heart today. 400